One caravan's on the mountains, one caravan's from the sea, one caravan's made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One caravan's from the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one caravan. One caravan heals the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
has gone into this Passover, especially but simply because that we purchased new property. Number one, we got 20 acres of gorgeous mountain property down here, and we've developed it, and we got us a chapel at the King's Gate, and we got it set up, and we're working. You've been working on it all day. And hold on just a minute, Card. I think you're on now, bro. So we're getting there, and a good day's work today, another day closer to opening time. Passover part this time, as you very well know, we're gonna explain tonight to the people. A lot of people don't understand Passover start with. Whether it's first or second Passover. And a lot of people, especially that know a little bit about Passover, they don't know anything to speak of on the second Passover. We're going to tell them how biblical, how that it's to be kept, and why it should be kept. And, you know, part with the world and the situation that we've got, and the times of trouble that we're in, it looks like to me that people would start really tuning into the truth and trying to get a hold on revelation of salvation, because you can't get to heaven without keeping his commandments. And he says three times a year he commanded this. Will all males now, it's a command, of course the males are head of the household, so it's the household, and every household that wouldn't keep it, This is the catch 22 here. And if I was a Yahweh fearing man and I wasn't keeping it, this would pierce my heart, and I would endeavor to please him. All males that wouldn't keep it were cut off, according to the Bible. And we certainly don't want to be cut off when he comes. We don't want to be found eating and drinking with the drunken. And we certainly don't want to be partaking of the world Passovers called Easter, which is nothing but a pagan Christian thing that's crept into people. They sanitize it. You don't have to do no, you don't have to keep any rituals other than buy you an Easter bonnet, style and profile on Easter Sunday morning, stand in the graveyard with the dead and face the sun. All of these things are pagan. Get up Easter bunny, which represents fertility, and hide Easter eggs. All this part called Easter, which is coming up for the Christian, might already pass out of it, I don't even know, but they change so many times. But that's all pagan. We've proved that. And this time, the second Passover, it's the element of mystery of the rituals that is quite rewarding when you see a Passover that's kept according to the truth of His Word. Barb, we're going to get into that, and we're going to discuss some of those things. Let's talk a little bit before we get into the message. Let's talk about our chapel and our needs and make an appeal. As you very well know, you've been down here for a couple of days working on the unit, and you know exactly you're up to speed on what we need. And we've gone about as far as well. We're going to start in the morning, I think, where we're going to have a roofer is going to come down. And we know it's the Sabbath. We already know that. But we're going to make our ox is in the ditch. Our roofs are leaking. You patched the roof today, the ceiling, we burnt some of the ceiling text on it, and you changed that out. And you just got that done and got it drywalled and patched back in. And this is the only day this worker can get down here because of the weather situation. It's the only dry day we've had all week. So he's going to be in here probably. We don't know for sure, but he gave me an approximate. He'd be here at the start. So we're going to get a brand new roof on the building, and that's going to run us about $4,000. We need somebody that can help us to pay for that roof, and it's a cash done deal. He's going to do all the labor, and we thought it was a pretty good price to have an all-metal roof. It's a 40-year guarantee of first-class metal. And we're going to get that done. And then we're inside drywalling, as you very well know. You're doing the work. Parr brought three or four of his workers down, and they've been working all day long today. You worked yesterday. And it looks good. It's shaping up, Parr, as you very well know, and coming together real good. And then we're going to put the floor down. Now, you took care of the appliances. You ordered a gas stove. We needed a gas stove, and you've got that in, on order. We need the dishwasher. The one we had in there wasn't working. The refrigerator didn't work. I think we're going to get a refrigerator promised to us, and we need a set of washer and dryers. And so basically what we need the most costly item is going to be our flooring. We need to get the price of the flooring. And we ask people out there that love Yahweh, that want to have a part in the chapel and to see it prosper. You know, Part, when we bought the property, everybody pitched in, and we finally come up with quite a bit of cash down on the property. And right now we don't owe one dime on it. We're debt-free on the property. We're debt-free on the chapel, and we got that paid for, and right as of tonight, we're paid up on all the work that's been done, and the material that's went into it, with the exception of our roof and our flooring, and our appliances. So we need, we could use $5,000 right now. That would help us out greatly. That would take care of the flooring, that would take care of the appliances, and it'd take care of our roof. So if we could get somebody's got it, if we had some, like a gold offering, gold is up right now, and if you've got a little bit more gold than you need, and you'd like to continue and pay a little time on that, we would accept a piece of gold or a couple pieces of silver, or we would take the FRNs. We wouldn't argue about that. So we need everybody's help here tonight. And Park, go ahead and tell the people what you think coming up today, and we're going to be on time, looks like.
Well, I got here Wednesday night about midnight, and got started Thursday morning, and with one of my people, and we worked all day Thursday getting the walls and ceilings painted, and boy, those ceilings and everything but the front room are just looking great. They look brand new. Got all the walls in the back first coated. Gonna start putting the finish coat on tomorrow. Got all the drywall that we hung in the front. Got it all taped. Got the beams taped in. Got a patch in the ceiling where we had water damage. Got it tore out, insulated. Sheetrocked back up. Got it taped. So tomorrow we'll be running the second coat of finish on all the sheetrock. Then we'll probably be painting part of the front meeting room ceiling. And we got junk hauled out, swept up. It's cleaned out. It's looking, every minute it's looking better. And the people that are coming for the feast, I think they're going to be real proud of what's happened. We've still got about 5 weeks to go, and I had promised everybody that the inside would be done by the time we have the feast, and looks like now we're on schedule. We had a guy defraud us a little bit on setting this trailer. We thought he was really a good Christian person, but turned out to be a scoundrel. And didn't finish the job, and everything he told us was fraud. And Yahweh, I think it's going to take care of him, because I'm going to put him up on the altar.
Praise Yahweh.
In the cursing altar, and let him deal with him. But everything really looks good. I'm just really excited, just like I was whenever we got the chapel. We just won't have the outside painted like I had said before and the previous time I was down here and on the radio with Pastor Buddy, but the inside will look great. My girlfriend owns an appliance store, and I called her today, and she gave me some super prices because she loves me, and I'm going to buy a stove for the gals with the self-cleaning oven and
propane
gas, and a dishwasher, and Yahweh's having me to buy that for the chapel, so it won't cost us anything, and Yahweh's having me to take my tithing and pay my people for coming all the way down here from Illinois to do the painting, so that doesn't cost us anything. But
great Yahweh.
We just need some wonderful Yahweh people to reach down and help us tie so we can get some money to put the floor down and finish paying for the roof. And, last year at the feast, I told Pastor Buddy and a couple other brothers that we weren't going to use that tent anymore. And the only reason I think that it would ever have to be used in the future would be that we'd have a bigger crowd than I would ever expect, which I hope we would, and couldn't get everybody in the chapel, but or in case some bad weather, the government sent us some bad weather or something, and we lost the chapel, but surely Yahweh will protect his property and all his people on it. So we just praise Yahweh all the time. And we got a 3-day Sabbath coming up here tomorrow and the next 3 days with our solar Sabbath. So everybody just needs to get on their knees and pray to Yahweh and let Yahweh guide them and let their heart be right. This property is all Yahweh's people's property. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to Pastor Buddy. It's anybody that believes in Yahweh like we believe in Yahweh. You're welcome here.
Amen.
We won't tolerate anybody that's not one of us. And I know we've had a couple people show up that we were unaware of, and I don't think they'll ever be back. But if they do, I know now who and what they are, so I'm going to confront them if they ever do show back up, but I'm not going to tolerate that crap. So just if you can't send a tithe, send us a prayer. Pray for Yahweh's King's Gate and everybody associated with it. And that will be a wonderful gift, too. So, back to you, Pastor Buddy.
Well, you know, Brother Parge, you know, you mentioned all the things that we're in need of. And also, we've already put about $1,000 worth of gravel in a parking lot. And we could probably use another $1,000 to complete it and to bring it up to our standards of what we want. So we do need some more gravel. The parking lot part, we got it graded off. It's good and level. People can park and walk to the entrance of the chapel. You made a comment that we could probably seat 100 people in the chapel, and I believe we can too. It's shaping up. We took some walls out and rearranged some of the design of the home, and I'm real thankful it's shaping up. And what happened here, Bard, is that Yahweh's blessing it.
Well, Pastor Buddy, I just had another thought. I know my wonderful brother in Kansas came a little early. I would pray to Yahweh that he'd come back for the peace and bring his tools, because now I am ready for him to do some work. So, Brother Steve, if you're sitting on your can and you're not that busy, and you know we love you, and we want you to come to the feast and
build a deck
and take advantage of you a little bit. But we do love you, and you know that. And if you can't make it, we still love you. We always will.
Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, Bard, let's give the dates. Speaking about Brother Steve, you know, he's the one that designed our calendar up this year, and we've got plenty more calendars. If you'd like to have a lunar calendar, my brother called me today about one and said that I'd promised him one, and it slipped my mind. So I got to come up to Steve and get him a calendar in the mail, and I will, praise Yahweh. The feast will start, the second feast, and we're going to talk about the feast tonight if we got any time left. We will go into the mystery element of the second Passover that not many people are privileged and eyes made to see. I saw this by a divine revelation. It's nothing that was great in me to see it. It was revealed to me, like I say, in a divine revelation. And it was wonderful when I saw that revelation that Yahweh wanted me to teach the people about the second Passover. And a lot of people have become obedient, and a lot of people are keeping the second Passover, along with some of the other rituals that are commanded in the Bible. We'll start on the, we'll first of all tell you that we're going to give you the dates of the Gregorian calendar so that you won't be confused. We also have it marked on the lunar dates that you can keep. And the lunar dates will start on the 13th, but on the Gregorian calendar, it's going to be the 15th of the month of May. So mark that. We're going to have an old-fashioned Holy Ghost foot washing Brother Pard, that's part of the rituals, and we're going to explain why that the foot washing rituals are put in and for what purpose. And it's a great element of mystery that was put in. In John chapter 13, we're going to discuss that just in a moment. And then after the foot washing, that'll be on Sunday night. And on Sunday night, on the 15th, beginning the foot washing, the ladies sometime prepare a final meal of leavening bread. And they were searching the houses and getting all the leavening out. They didn't waste anything. They were very saving. And that night, most of people have been convinced that Christ was eating a Passover meal. And he was not eating a Passover meal. And we're going to prove to you that he wasn't. And because he was the Passover. And his body was hanging on the torture stake on the very day called Passover. Now that day will be on the 16th on the calendar. It'll be on the 14th of the lunar calendar. And that's when we will kill the lamb. Now, Sister Janice has already made preparations for us acquiring a couple of lambs like we did last year or year before last. And the people are going to deliver close by, and we'll just have to run out 5 or 6 miles and meet the people at the intersection out here on the interstate and pick up the lambs. Next year we hope to have our own. It takes a while to get established and get ready. We also received today from Brother Coy down in Mountain Rest, South Carolina, we received from him a whole box of heirloom seeds that he saved, like beans, delicious beans, he said, corn, and his own special variety that he'd saved in the family for years and years and years. And Pard, you know that you go to the seed store now, you can't get that. And they're trying to poison the ground to where it won't grow. A lot of people here in this area last year had a disaster growing season. And we pray this year it will be better and that we can put up some of these valuable heirloom seeds that we're going to put in the ground. And we pray for Yahweh giving the increase and the blessings, and now, Pard, we've got great storage facilities. We've got plenty of room to store our things in permanently. And anybody that can come, bring a canned item or something like that that could feed somebody. Bring something. We have room for it. Used to we didn't have any room, and it would either spoil. I know we kept stuff up through Y2K. Dr. Jerry, he had tons and tons of that stuff, and we've got it stored over at Hallelujah Acres. But it was Y2K stuff, and a lot of it, of course, when you get hungry, if it's halfway decent, you're going to eat it. But we'll let that happen if it happens. And there is some predictions going on that we're in for some interesting times, perilous times, what the Bible says. So we hope and trust that we can get those dates. So remember that date. It'll start on the night of the 13th. Write it down on your calendar so you won't get confused. We will begin the foot washing on the night of the 15th. That's on Sunday night of May the 15th. On the 16th, we'll kill the lamb at 3 o'clock. Then we'll dress the lamb. The priest will dress it and get it ready. And we'll roast it by fire, like we always do. Jonathan's working on the unit right now that we use for a roaster, and we're going to roast the lamb. And the ladies will fix a meal of bitter herbs, just nothing but a salad, like romaine salad, lettuce, and horseradish, and garlic, and onions, and things of this nature. We'll have a salad, and then we'll have the bread. Unleavened bread for the first night, for the meal, and the wine, and the lamb, the roasted lamb, praise Yahweh, along with another side dish or two that, maybe some of those famous, world famous, mashed potatoes that Miss Virginia can make. They're delicious. And so I look forward to sharing the meal. It's the most favorite meal, although it's a sad occasion, to see our lamb killed. The children watch it. The Bible commands us to take our children and not take them to Burger King or at McDonald's, where you get 40 different, 80 different flavors of meat from all over the world and GMO'd products. It's to teach our children the rituals, how to keep it, how to perform it, and for what reason. So, well, we do that every year. We think it is Yahweh's will, and He always seems pleased. The devil hates this festival, Karn. This is the worst festival, but the devil will fight us. You know how it goes. Last year we had all kinds of problems. Year before last, I mean, the weather, it wouldn't cooperate. We was under the tent, as you see. I'm sort of glad to get out from under that tent, although we're appreciative of getting the tent. We worked hard to get the tent. The brothers worked hard at putting it up. Faithfully, they come special early to get the tent up, and they were faithful, and we had a good time in it, looking back on the good times. But this year, we've got a good place to park. For the first time that I know of, we got a place to park, and it's a level parking lot. It's all graveled, and we got the chapel in process. We hope and trust that we'll get the floor in on it and the roof. That's two main things. The rest will take care of itself because people can donate. I know Brother Mark and Sister Audrey down in Mississippi are thinking about a washer and dryer set or leaning toward that. They're checking into it right now, and we'll get word from Mark and Audrey pretty soon. They're always charitable and help us out. Brother Bud and down in Mississippi, and Brother Edward, they sponsor us on the radio, of course, and great givers. Brother John up in Chicago, he always helps us tremendously, and Brother Randy and Brother Jim and people like that around, just too numerous to mention all that the help we got to pay for the place. People contributed, and the contributions came in part right at the proper time. We paid for that thing. You know, you went and signed the papers along with Virginia and Thelma. Everything went off without a hitch. The real estate was very appreciative to sell the property. Ain't much property selling right now. People ain't got a lot of money. But Yahweh blessed us to have the property and blessed us to get the chapel. We got a great deal in that part. The more I see it every day, the more thankful I am that we made the decision to go ahead and get it. And the hard work it took to get it together. And as you mentioned, the thief that run off with some of our funds, that's all right, because Yahweh will bless him in places where he's never been blessed before.
Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh, and we wish him well. Praise Yahweh. Go ahead, Park.
Well, I just think it's wonderful that we have it. This year, we shouldn't have to worry about a spring running through the tent like we did last year. Soppy feet.
More like a creek.
Yeah. I think everybody's just going to be really, hopefully, shocked at a good surprise to see what they have for themselves. And one thing that you said before, trip or two back that we were talking on the radio, that man, we don't have to move nothing. Once these gals get that kitchen all set up and everything, it'll all be there the next time. There won't be no
pantry
moving.
Storage.
Yeah. You won't have to worry about the stuff jumping in your truck and taking it here and there and yon. We'll be set up. We've got permanent property, and it's for all the Yahweh people that want to come and join and fellowship and experience love and everything else. It's just a wonderful feeling, and I'm looking forward to seeing all of my many friends and hopefully some new Yahweh people.
Amen.
Show up.
And you know, Bart, you already mentioned that everybody that comes and attends is going to be welcome. And with good Southern hospitality, we got the best cooks in the world, Miss Jan and Miss Virginia and Miss Connie and Miss Pat and all the cooks that come in there and contribute and make delicious food. It's and boy, this is the eatingest bunch of Israelites I've ever seen. Mark and Audrey, y'all, what awesome cooks. Boy, they always come, and they're coming back. They'll be here again this year. Bud, oh, yeah, they're precious. Praise Yahweh. And Bud and all the folks in Mississippi, it's going to be a wonderful time. It does our heart good to see them pull on the property. And everybody's going to be welcome. There's no exclusions. You know, the property's for them. It's their property, as you said. And sitting in the chapel, it's their chapel. It's for their comfort. And we've got it fixed up hard, as you very well know. We've got it fixed up where we've got two showers. We've got washer and dryers that'll be in place. And people that want to stay, and even if they camp outside, like a lot of them like to camp out, they can take a shower in the nice chapel. We got two large bathrooms, two showers, and we had a master tub. I took it out to part to your to your disappointment, and Thelma raised Cain about it. She didn't want that big tub, that corner tub out. But we needed the space. We're going to try to build a pantry in there for more storage, every inch that we can get in storage. So everybody comes is going to be welcome. We're looking forward to seeing everybody. We're going to tell you later on how to get here, the physical address where you can GPS it into your unit and you can drive right to the front door. And it's real easy to find anyway. Off of Major Thorough North-South, Interstate 75, I-75 South, 50 miles south of Knoxville. It's 50 miles north of Chattanooga, so it's right in the middle of Chattanooga and Knoxville. We're right in the center in Sweetwater, Tennessee. It's real easy to find, and we're looking forward to everybody getting. Now, let's go into the Bible, and we're going to share with you why the Bible says that the Messiah died in the second Passover. We think it's a mystery. We hope and trust that you'll get your Bibles and go with us and look at Matthew as we begin to see the plan. The Jews who killed him, it was a plot. They planned very hard. And ladies and gentlemen, these were shrewd snakes. They killed him because they knew that he was the bridegroom. They knew that he was the lamb that took away the sins of the world. And they knew he was the heir to the kingdom promises that actually would be theirs if they could get rid of him. They was hoping that they could kill him, and they plotted to kill him. They plotted. It was a plan. Now, here we're going to show you that he did not die. We're going to give you three scriptures to prove our point. And the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Here it says in 26 Matthew, verse 1. Now, it came to pass that when the Messiah, Jesus, Yahweh the Christ, had finished all these sayings that he said to his disciples. You know that after 2 days is the Passover. Now that would have been 2 days before. Remember, he's going to be killed on the 14th. They planned to kill him on the 14th. And that would be the Passover day, the slaughter of the lambs. Isn't it significant? Has a lot of spiritual rooted meaning that they would actually dare to kill him on a high festival. Passover was their number one festival, and they planned to use it, the covering of the killing of the lambs. Not only did they type into him, he was the lamb, they planned to kill him, but he had other plans. He had another method to kill him. And this figured right in, and I'll show you how that it figured into the plan. That the Jews, they're very smart. They make good choices. Number one, they made a good choice by picking him to kill him. Why do I say that? I'm glad he died. I'm glad he loved me good enough to lay down his life for me. If he hadn't loved me that much, I'd been lost right today. There was no one worthy. He searched heaven, he searched earth, he searched beneath the earth, and no one found worthy. Well, this man was worthy, and I thank Yahweh that the Jews recognized that. They knew that he was something about this man that they feared, and I'll tell you why they feared him. He told the truth of them. He told us exactly who they were and how that they got blood mixed from the seed of Cain. It's a deep revelation. It's all embedded in this Passover, especially the second Passover. And I believe everybody would be blessed to know the rest of the story. Here they said, you know, this is what he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the Passover. What day would that have been for? If he was crucified on the 14th, then you back off 2 days, that would have been what? The 12th. The 12th. You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. That was the plan. He knew that. Then the chief priest, now they're fixing to change his plan. Then the chief priest, the scribes, the elders, and the people assembled at the palace of the high priest. This is where they're going to plot. Who was called Caiaphas. And they plotted, there's the word, plotted to take the Messiah by trickery, deception, and kill him. Notice verse 5. But they said, this is how smart they are, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now, verse 5 is very important. Mark that. They said that they was not going to kill him on that feast that they were having. And that feast that they were having is called the Jews' Passover. So that would have been the first Passover. Now, if they didn't kill him on the first Passover, and the Bible is plain that he did die on a Passover, what option is left for you? Second Passover. It's obvious, folks. This is a great revelation. If you'll study on it in depth, sometime when I teach at the chapel, we get set up, and we can put it on the board, and I can link the scripture today, and everybody can draw a diagram of their teachings and place it there, and it's very easy to understand. And I've taught this many, many years, Bart, and through a divine revelation, like I say, and as far as I know, we are the only group that are keeping the second Passover in the Passover keeping time. Now, that might not be too significant until the fire starts falling, until the earthquakes start happening, which they're already happening. It has more significance about it in this year since any time I've ever kept the Passover. I have never kept it in such a perilous possibility. And when I say perilous possibilities, nobody is safe. Now we're discovering we've got radiation. They tell us that there's no harm. You don't have to panic. You don't have to do this and do that. That's what they told us in the 50s when they were doing atomic testing. Oh, well, there's no radiation involved. You don't have to worry about it. And people started dying out in Utah and out in Arizona and places like that, the dry desert out there. They started dying from cancer. And the reason why the government finally admitted it, yes, that the test had more radiation than they had figured. Well, that's what they're going to say when you start dying from the radiation from all the 5 nuclear reactors they got in Japan that's breaking and open and running amok and melting down, literally. Right now we are getting radiation in cow's milk. And where does cows get to pick up the radiation? In the grass as it falls. So we know it's raining down. They've already, in I think 11 states, they're getting radioactive rain falling on the grass. It's going to get in the food chain, going to get in the water system, and of course it may not be at levels that's harmful, but if you keep drinking, going back to the well and drinking poison, a little bit of strychnine part won't bother you. But you keep on drinking her and let her build up and see what happens. It's going to eventually kill you. And that's what's happening right now. So we're in perilous times, and it's even more important, folks, to pay close attention to these elements that Yahweh's hid from people. You can read the Bible all your life and still be deceived and not understand nothing of it if you don't have eyes to see and ears to hear. So we want you to be in tune. If you want to keep the Passover, we want you to keep it. Now, not during the feast, verse 5, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. And verse 6, listen to this now. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. Now, what's he going to do at the house of Simon the leper? Would that make him unclean? A leper's unclean, ain't it?
Right.
Now, did everybody that kept the first Passover, did they have to be clean? Well, here, now we know it's already almost Passover time. They decided not to kill him on the Passover. And here the next day, or sometime, probably, it had to be real soon after that he's hanging out with a leper. Well, we know from other scriptures, as we're going to the great mystery element, that 6 days before the Passover, and that'd be part of even this chapter right here, we're not putting it in proper chronological order tonight, but we are giving you the facts, and the first one is in Matthew chapter 26, that he showed up at Lazarus' tomb. And Lazarus had been dead, 4 days? And he raised him up, and you're not supposed to touch a dead body. Even the second Passover was put in force for people that had touched a dead body. Well, we know that after the Messiah raised him up, he probably had to hug him. I'd have hugged the far out of him. And if I'd been Lazarus, I'd have jumped right in his arms. Praise Yahweh. It's a good feeling to have somebody pick you up when you're down, Lord. And Yahweh raised him from the dead. That's two things that would declare him ineligible to keep the first Passover and make him unclean. And the sanctification days, they had to wash and come before the priest on the next Sabbath, which would be the high day on the eighth day. So a week from that day, the first Passover had already been passed. And the Jews knew that he raised Lazarus, so they branded him. They declared him, after examining him and find out, well, wait a minute, here he's touched a dead body, he's hanging out with a leper, and this man's unclean, so we can't let him keep the first Passover. Now, was that smart or what? In their part, that was very smart. That was crafty. These snakes are crafty. They didn't kill him because they knew, under the command, Yahweh said everybody has to come. If they're located within traveling time, in all throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, they had to come from miles around and keep the Passover at Jerusalem. Now, that was a large crowd, and they recognized that. That's don't kill him on the first Passover. That's basically what they said. That's declare him unclean because we know he raised Lazarus from the dead, so we could bind him over to he'd have to come here in the second Passover. And then all the people would go home except those that's unclean. So that's meaning he was numbered with the transgressors. It fills that prophecy. And here he is, killed with all of the unclean observing him. The crowd went home after the first Passover. And they got him in the second Passover. Now we're going to read just a little bit further after we find out that he was also keeping him. Let's go down to the 17th verse now. Listen to this one. Now, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, that's on the 15th. But we found out that the feast doesn't begin until the night of the 15th, correct? When we kill the lamb on the 14th day, we dress him, and we get him ready to eat. And at evening of the 15th day was when they celebrate the Passover. Well, we know, according to the teaching of the scriptures, that the Messiah was already dead. He died at 3 o'clock on the 14th. So, they had to crucify him on the 14th day of the second Passover to kill him. And that's why the confusion is. They can't figure this great mystery out. Now, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to the Messiah. Now, wait a minute. How could they come to him if he's killed on the first Passover? Could they talk to him? He died at 3 o'clock. They came to him on the first day of Unleavened Bread. That's on the 15th. He died on the 14th. You can't talk to a dead man. He ain't going to answer you back. So here he is. It's said on the 17th verse, they said, where do you want us to go to prepare to eat the Passover? Now they had give him the news, the Sanhedrin court, which determined him and his disciples unclean. They want to kill all them too. So they branded them unclean, talking to him here on the 15th day. They left that festival, and we know exactly where they go by reading the scriptures. And notice this. After that it goes on, they believed, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread. Now, here it says, these unlearned people that break up the scripture text. They said, here he is eating the Passover. Well, he wasn't eating the Passover. He was eating the preparation meal on the evening of the 13th. Remember, the 14th is the Passover. So, what he done, he goes somewhere, and we find out where he goes. We know exactly where he went to with his disciples. And he tells them right here, they ask him, where do we go to eat the Passover? So that means they didn't keep the first one, because they're talking to him on the 15th day after the Passover day is already ready. And we'll challenge anybody in the land that debates on this issue. If they're going to go by the Bible, which is what we need to go by, I'd hate to not go by it and try to put up a tradition like Easter stuff and try to get away with that. Listen to this now. Everybody believes that the Bible is laid out in chronological order that it's laid out in is inspired, and it's not. That's why it says here a little and there a little. You got to read here a little bit and hook it up over here, because they're gonna. If you don't understand the whole mystery of this thing, listen. Now, when the chief priests and elders and all of the council sought false testimony against him to put him to death. Now, after the first Passover, they had 30 days to kill him in the second. And they set about gathering evidence against him, because they know they was going to bring a charge against him. Here's the chief priests and the elders. After the first Passover, they were seeking, this is the 59th verse of Matthew, chapter 26, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they were trying to gather up some evidence, they found none. But at last, listen, but at last, two false witnesses came forward. Two false witnesses is all they could get. Many came to offer their testimony, but only two was accepted. Now, who were they? Pardon? We know we'll find one at the preparation mill. We'll find the other one somewhere else. We'll find him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we'll find him going to the palace the night that they arrested the Messiah on the night of the 13th. He was arrested on the night of the 13th, immediately after he ate that meal. We know it was the 13th. We know it was the night before the 14th, because the next day they interrogated him all night long. They got him after midnight. He spent hours and hours before Herod and his mockmen, his henchmen, his soldiers, and they interrogated him until 9 o'clock that morning. They brought him before Pilate. Pilate reluctantly condemned him to death. Then he was given to the Jews. And two false witnesses came. One of them is revealed in St. John chapter 13 on the second Passover. This is 30 days later now. It's getting near Passover time again, when they're going to kill the Messiah. Now, let's go out just a little bit further. We find out there's going to be two false witnesses. They're going to kill him, and they're going to bring a charge against him. And we're going over to Mark chapter 14, and we're going to reiterate in the second witness, where we're going to read here in Mark 14. After 2 days, verse 1 of Mark 14, was the Passover, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and scribes saw how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. Now, Matthew and Mark is lining up right here. They're agreeing. That's two witnesses. And it said in the mouth of two or three witnesses. But they said, again, here they are, not during the feast. Now, what was that feast, the first one they killed? The first Passover. If they'll kill him during the feast, at least there'd be an uproar and an uproar of the people. So, here in the 12th verse, it confirms again, says the Passover is prepared. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover? Well, we know he didn't eat the Passover because he was the Passover. And here it is again on the 15th day. He's still alive. They didn't kill him on the 14th. And so they sentenced him to come back to the second Passover 30 days later together with the unclean. And that's how we know it. So here we go. We're going over to the book of Mark, and we'll confirm it again. And we're going to John. Let me just skip the book of Luke. We can get it for a third witness, but we just don't need it. We done got two here. Let's go over to the... We know exactly what day he came into Jerusalem. We know what day it was because here in the 11th chapter of John is where he raises Lazarus from the dead. And we know that it was 6 days before the Passover. So he had to be sanctified 7 days to be authorized to keep the person. So again, he don't keep. Now here it is. Now 6 days, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus, Yahweh in the flesh body, came to Bethany where Lazarus had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. Now remember, he ate with a leper at Bethany, and he was at the house of the dead man that he'd raised from the dead. 6 days. So we know that it's in the time frame, and this is during the second Passover, right before the second Passover. Now, this is John chapter 13. We're going to give you a message here that will prove to you that the second Passover is the Passover you need to keep. If you see this great mystery, Yahweh's hiding from the wise and wants you to celebrate the true time of his death. And you would do well to follow this and to be blessed. Now, before the Feast of Passover. Now, we know that the Feast of Passover is the 15th. The killing date's on the 14th. So it had to be the second Passover when the Messiah knew his hour had come. He knew here, after the first, but he knew the first Passover they wasn't going to kill him. He knew exactly what they were going to do, that his hour had come, and he should depart the world. He's going to die, confirming it, and go to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world. He loved them to the end. It's the end, the second Passover. And supper being ended. Now, what supper would that have been? On the 13th night, it was their tradition to search their homes for leaven. They got out all the leaven out of their homes, separated out of their homes to be clean. And then they would celebrate at the end of that search. They would have the final meal of leaven. They would eat that final meal before they begin, which would be the day after, which would be the 15th, they begin the first day of unleavened bread. And they were to practice that ritual for 7 days. 7 days of unleavened bread. That begins on the 15th and ends on 7 days later. And this year it's going to be 15 through 24. And it's an 8-day festival, counting the day that you meet to keep the Passover. So it's 8 days, and here we find, here he's having a meal. Lamb is not mentioned. It's always mentioned in the commandments. We know what to put on the table. Lamb was not on the table. There was a reason that he did this. He's fixing to catch one of the false witnesses. There's two of them. And the mystery of the second one is even deeper than the mystery of the first one. We know who the first one was. We know it was Judas. Judas was a Jew, Brother Clark. And that means that he was a bloodline descendant of Judah. The Hellenization of the word Judas is Judah. We know that his father was Simon the Canaanite. Is that what it says? Judas' father was Simon the Canaanite. Well, would that make Judas a Canaanite? If Judah married a Canaanite woman and had three sons, were they Canaanite? They were mixed, weren't they? They did have Judah's blood in them. And Christ said, I know you're Abraham's seed, meaning that you're from the loins of Judah, but Judah married a Canaanite, so I will not accept his bloodline back into the community. And they said, we're not born of fornication. He said, your father is the devil, and the works of your father you will do. He was a liar and a what? Murderer from the very beginning. Well, we know he's a murderer because he knows they're fixing to kill him. These Jews, here it is, and he rose from supper, laid aside his garment, took a towel, and girded himself. Now, the Christians say that? Don't think so. The Catholics say that? No. All they're interested in is a piece of IHS bread stamped with Easter in it, and the pagan ritual, and they keep that cleansed, sanitized meal, you know, and the priest comes out real holy with a big long garb on and makes it look like it's holy when he's converting the bread to the body of Christ, and it's all foolishness. After that, he poured water into a basin. He poured water. I like this guy for it. I like our Messiah. He was down to earth, and he was getting her done, brother, and he knows what he was doing, and he hid it from the what? The wise and the prudent. And girded himself and took a towel. And when he came to Peter, Peter said, what you going to do? And he said, I'm going to wash your feet. And he said, you will never wash my feet. Well, what a cocky, arrogant attitude old Peter had. We got something like that today. The Messiah answered him, if I do not wash your feet, you'll have no part with me. Well, that's a separation, man. Simon Peter said, well, he's backing up now. Well, Master, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Then the Messiah said, he who is bathed, they've already been baptized, needs to, he's only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You're clean, but not all. He catches, and he knew who would betray him. Right here it is. Therefore, he said, you're not all clean. Now, I'm going to have to stop right here. And I promise you, if you'll come to the festival of our Passover, our second Passover, we've already given you book why you should. If you don't, then you're bound by it because you're bound by what you know. You're down by what you know also. You're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. I'll try to teach that other false witness here during the coming festival, the time given, and tell you who he was. It's going to blow your mind when you find out who that other false witness was. He was taken from among the disciples. He was one of the disciples. Judas wasn't the only one. There was two of them. And they ran with the Messiah. They said they loved him. And it's going to really surprise you when you find out. Folks, we got to get out of here. I've preached ourselves away. We testified ourselves away here. Let's see what we've got here. We've got, we got 3 minutes to close it out. I've enjoyed you being with me tonight. And we've enjoyed talking to you tonight about the second Passover and the elements and the mystery. We hope and trust that you can join us. You'll be treated with kindness and respect. And it just thrills our heart to see you come. It breaks our heart to see you go. We fall in love with you as soon as you get here, and we don't quit loving you when you leave. So that's how much we'd like to see you come. We're not a bunch of wild men. We don't do exotic things. We don't curse children. We don't beat up on people. We don't mistreat nobody. We use prayer and fasting to get our job done. And you always bless all of us and give us a hope to the calling. Pardon? Let's say goodnight.
There's nothing but love on this property. I just want to say something to my old buddy, North Carolina. Give me a jingle tomorrow, even though it's not Free Friday. Love you. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh.
Well, we're going to have to get off here, folks, and call me tonight. Area code 423-259-0606. That's my cell phone. And you can also call me at area code 423-351-1082. Call us tonight, and we'll talk with you about this element of mystery. And Yahweh bless you. We'll see you at the second Passover on May the 15th, beginning for an old-fashioned foot washing. We'll retrace the steps that the Messiah took, and we'll keep the vessels according to the rituals thereof. Yahweh bless, and we love you tonight.